Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
From Autosport Magazine and Autosport.com, I'm Tom Howard, and this is the Autosport Podcast. This weekend sees the British Touring Car Championship kick off the 2024 season with the opening round at Donington Park. The BTCC is renowned for its action-packed tin-top racing, and once again, there's an interesting list of cast members set to do battle, including three former champions, 13 race winners, and a returning world champion. After Ash Sutton's impressive run to a fourth title last year, equaling the record held by the great Andy Rouse and the mercurial Colin Turkington, we could be set for a battle to see who can be the first to claim five titles. To preview the new season, we have Autosport's national editor, Stephen Licorice. How are we, Stephen, and are we looking forward to the new campaign?
Yes, raring to go, Tom. Thank you. It's, as has been the case over the last couple of seasons now, the BTCC has been waiting a little bit longer than some championships to get underway. So it's been a long off season, but now almost time for the action to begin.
Absolutely. And yeah, Donington Park, what a place to kick everything off. And I guess we should first start by saying that, okay, this year, the grid is a little slimmer. We're down to sort of 2021 cars. There's been a lot of changes over the off-season. But what have you made of the changes, Stephen? Do you think we're still going to have an exciting championship despite there being a few less cars?
I think so. I think, obviously, it's noticeable that there will be fewer cars. We're looking around the sort of 20-ish number rather than high 20s that it has been for many years now, really. But when you look at the drivers that are on the grid and the quality there, it's still really, really high. You've still got many of the traditional front-running drivers that are likely to be battling for wins. You've still got the key contenders there. So yes, there might not be the quantity that there has been in previous years, but there's certainly still a lot of quality on the grid. And there's still plenty of ingredients for a good battle ahead.
Yeah, I guess so. Just to wrap that up, I suppose we've seen One Motorsport take a pause for this season. They were running obviously some Hondas that morphed out of the BTC lineup. Team Hard has sort of disappeared, but come back in another guise under I think the Unlimited Racing banner. And we've also got Restart Racing that have taken some of the Team Hard Cupras as well. So there's a bit of a change in the grid, but I guess the favourites are going to be Napa Racing after what they performed last year with Ash Sutton. They were the dominant force. Do you think they could be stopped?
Well, like you say, dominant is almost an understatement in a way, because it was near unprecedented the way that Ash Sutton romped to the championship last year. And you have to say that they go into the season as favourites. But that does not, this is the BTCC. Remember, anything can happen. And that does, it's far from guaranteed that Ash Sutton and the Napa Alliance team will be at the front again. Obviously, they've kept all four drivers that they had last year. So that's Ash Sutton's obviously spearheading the team. But there's Dan Kamish, who's really keen to sort of bounce back again this year. And then you've got Dan Rowbottom and Sam Osborne as well. So it's a really, really strong lineup. But because of some of the rule changes that we'll get onto later and the quality of the drivers at the front elsewhere, it's certainly far from guaranteed that they'll have it all their own way again this season.
You've mentioned it there, rule changes. We should sort of dive into that because I suppose that's sort of some of the biggest changes for this year. We've got, obviously, the hybrid power is going to be doubled, but using a sort of conjunction of the turbo boost to enable that to be doubled, the power that they can use during qualifying in the races. The qualifying system itself is changing to an IndyCar style sort of system where we've got this sort of like quick six at the end and three sort of segmented sessions. And then on top of that, we've got new tire rules where if you use, so for some races, you will have to, the race two, you have to use the hardest compound available if you finished in the top 10 in race one, which is a little bit complicated, but it won't be an issue for Donington because we only are using a certain compound of tire there. But for like other rounds like Brands Hatch, where there are several compounds in action, that could really mix up the grid and you could see some drivers from outside the top 10 sort of come through and get race wins. So a lot of changes to get your head around, Stephen, but could these be good changes?
Well, like you say, there's certainly no shortage of different tweaks in multiple different areas of the championship for this year. And all of them are likely to add more unpredictability and more variety into the results. I mean, if you have a look through Marcus Simmons's excellent season preview in this week's issue of Autosport magazine, you can see some of the front runners are saying that they expect these tweaks to have a major impact. For example, the increase in turbo boost, that's going to make a big difference, and it's going to make it a lot easier for cars to overtake potentially, especially against those cars that haven't got as much boost available to them. Whereas before, they might have perhaps just been able to get alongside that car ahead. Now they might be able to power past. And then the tyre rules that you mentioned, Tom, I think that could be, particularly around some circuits, that could make a massive difference. There's, due to the changing compounds for this year anyway, there's a slightly bigger delta between each of the different compounds being used. So therefore, the top 10 from race one having to use the hard tyre in race two, that's going to have a massive impact on their performance. And it's estimated that we could be talking about, well, Ash Sutton has said that it could be even be up to a second a lap difference, which is a huge amount, particularly in a championship where there's such fine margins, there's so many close drivers at the front. So there's so many changes. You mentioned the qualifying format as well. So many unknowns. It'll be really, really interesting to see how it all plays out in reality at the first round. And like you say, we're not going to get a true picture of that until a few rounds in to see just how much of an impact these rule changes are really going to have and whether they do shake up the running order at all.
Absolutely. And in Donington, it's just a medium tyre in use, just to clear that up. So that's why the tyre rules perhaps won't be an issue at that round. There will be other rounds where all the compounds are in play. But I think the qualifying, I'm quite excited about this because I like the idea of there being this sort of extra element to it. I know that we've seen in the past some qualifying changes. I particularly like sometimes with the V8 supercars, they have their sort of top 10 shootout. I really like the idea of that. It builds excitement over the weekend. It makes Saturday more of a thing, if you know what I mean, like an event. And I reckon qualifying could be quite interesting because you only got to make a slight error in that short amount of time and you could be way down the grid.
That's it. And particularly on, like, with the shorter tracks, obviously getting a clean lap in will be tricky. And then with the longer tracks, if you make a mistake, you're really up against it in terms of getting a chance to get those all important laps in that first segment of qualifying. So I think it's bound to catch out some drivers at different points in the year, and same as if there's yellow flags and what have you, there's plenty of potential for some dramatic Saturdays before we even get into the racing on Sundays.
And with that tyre rule, now I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think I'm a fan of it. If I'm being brutally honest, I think that's sort of maybe going a bit too far to manufacture some sort of shake up of the grid. Don't get me wrong, I'd like to see different people win. But if the delta, as you say, is going to be that significant in places, I think, I don't know, I'm not so sure. What are your thoughts?
Yes, it's a tricky one, isn't it, really? Because equally, in some ways, last year wasn't the most exciting of seasons compared to some BTCC campaigns in the past. But has this gone too far the other way? Possibly, but until it actually plays out at the circuits, we're not really going to know exactly what those differences are per lap in a racing context. So I think it would be fascinating to see how it all plays out. But yeah, I whether it's too much of a handicap for the top runners in those race twos, there's certainly the potential for that to be the case. And it could create some really, really topsy-turvy results over the course of a weekend. Ultimately, it comes down to whether you're a purist or not, how much you want it to be based upon the fastest driver in the fastest car, or how much you want these to be these other variables in the mix that help bunch the field up and create some really close and unpredictable racing. And it's a fine balancing act between the two. And like you say, Tom, whether this is the right way of going about that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I guess, you know, we see changes in lots of different motorsport categories. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But I think the sort of positive way to look at it is if you at least they're trying to do something. Like if they want to get more action, they're at least attempting to try a fix or try something different. And I think you have to sort of commend championship organizers for trying to do something.
Absolutely. No, it's if you leave things the same, you're gonna more likely than not end up with the same result. Whereas it's always good to see new ideas being trialed and experimented. But I think that the thing we have to be careful of, some of these rule changes, as we've hinted already, are quite complicated. And for the casual fan, there's a lot of different variables there, and it can be difficult for people to follow. So we have to be careful that we don't make it too complicated at the same time.
Absolutely. We should sort of go through some of the contenders. We sort of talked about Napa Racing there because they're obviously the reigning champions with Ash Sutton coming into the series. But at the top of the podcast, we mentioned that obviously there's the sort of battle for five titles record that could go on, which is quite exciting in a way, because from a British touring car history point of view, like obviously Andy Rouse and Colin Turkington have been are the sort of record holders with now Ash Sutton in that mix. And to be a five-time champion, I mean, the chance to do that and be standing alone at the top, that's quite something, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. As Colin Turkington has been stuck on four for a little while now, he'll be even more determined to get that fifth and beat Ash Sutton to the to the title this year. And who knows, perhaps this could well be his year for the West Surrey Racing BMWs to get back on top. And they're always there or thereabouts. They're always in the mix. And you've got Jake Hill alongside Turkington as part of that team. He's always exciting to watch. And yeah, they're bound to be up at the front, near the front. Whether they can topple the Napa Fords, who knows? But they're definitely going to be key contenders. And they're going to be, like you say, that battle for the fifth title is going to be add an even sort of an extra element to an extra bit of intensity to the fight this year.
And we're talking about the sort of West Surrey BMW lineup. We've obviously got sort of Turkington there, Jake Hill, you mentioned. Certainly, if you look at read Marcus Simmons's preview for this weekend, Colin Turkington talks about some of the changes to the BMW for this year. They've got a sort of new engine package, so some slightly different bodywork on the car. So they've not been sort of resting on their laurels over the winter. They've been clearly working pretty hard, as of all the teams. But to be going in with a sort of slightly new package and some new tools, it could be quite interesting to see how he goes, because they've been sort of struggling for straight line speed and wanted to be a bit faster in that element. So having an extra or a new engine, that could be an interesting factor for the WSR boys.
No, definitely. And again, it's good to see that the team is constantly pushing forwards. You'd expect nothing less with a team with so much history and so much success in the past. And whether this is the ingredient that they need to get back on top, it'll be really interesting to see how much of a difference it can make.
And Jake Hill, obviously, as you mentioned there, there's quite a sort of, yes, he's running in the Laser Tools sort of backed BMW, but it's in the same, being prepared by the same team. So it's an inter-team battle that you've got there with potentially Colin and Jake, which is they've had a few sort of slight runnings or some good battles in the past, shall we say. What an interesting lineup that is, and a sort of a dynamic, shall we say, because you've obviously got the younger Jake Hill there and the more experienced Colin. Even just inside that team, there's a cracking battle, isn't there?
That's it. That's the great thing. I know we were talking earlier about the series not having perhaps the numbers it's had in the past, but there's so many intriguing subplots to the championship. And seeing who emerges on top out of the battle of the BMWs between Turkington and Hill, and obviously we've got Adam Morgan also in the mix there as well. It will be really interesting. That's just one element that will be really interesting to follow. And there's plenty of other intra-team battles that will be fascinating too. If we look across, one of the things you sort of hinted at earlier, Tom, was the return of a world champion to the mix this year as part of an expanded four-car Speedworks Motorsport Toyota operation. And the driver in question is, of course, Rob Huff. And it will be really, really interesting to see how he gets on. He's a great addition to the championship. He's obviously 20 years since he made his debut in the BTCC back with the Sayer. And it will be really interesting to see how he gets on back in the championship, back where his sort of tin top career all started. And it's obviously achieved success in a whole range of different categories. And the Toyotas haven't really delivered upon their potential in the past couple of years. And with an all-new lineup there this year, you've got Andrew Watson, who made a bit of an impact in the Powermax Racing Vauxhall Astra last year. And then you've also got Josh Crook and Aidan Moffat moving across from One Motorsport. And that's a pretty strong lineup, you have to say, across those four cars. So I think it would be interesting to see how they can fare this year as well.
And just to cover off the sort of final bit with WSR, obviously there's only three currently BMW schedules on the grid. There might be a fourth. They tested Bobby Thompson in the off season. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. But I'd have to say it would be really nice to see Bobby Thompson get a chance in a real top line car, because he's clearly got potential.
Yeah, he's shown on a number of occasions in the past he's been able to put cars that you would have to say aren't the strongest in the series in brilliant positions. And he's a driver that a lot of people around the paddock rate really highly. And to see him in a top car in a WSR BMW would be brilliant. It would be a great reward for the hard work that he's put in over the years. And if that can happen, I think that would be a really, really good feel-good story for the championship. But at the end of the day, money is king, and whether the budget can be put in place, whether that is possible, whether it ends up being for some of the season, all of the season, we'll just have to wait and see on that one. But I think there'll be a lot of people that would really, really keen to see Bobby in that seat for this year.
You mentioned Josh Crook there. He's definitely in my sort of list of contenders for this year's championship. I think he's a very good driver, and certainly sort of he's been knocking on the door, hasn't he? But also we should talk about our sort of Tom Ingram, who was a champion not last year, but the previous season. Tom Ingram in the Hyundai. Now, you can't rule him out of this mix either. He's definitely right in there, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's really become an established BTCC front runner in recent seasons, and he's always there or thereabouts. And after seeing Ash Sutton return to the top and continue his great momentum, Tom Ingram will be desperate to regain the advantage. And he's certainly shown that he's got all the necessary qualities that are needed to fight at the very front of the championship, but it's just whether he can beat those dominant Napa Fords is the big question, really. But he's definitely going to be in the mix there or thereabouts, isn't he?
Absolutely. And let's talk a bit about the Napa Fords. Obviously, they've really come to the fore, shall we say, the last couple of seasons since Pete Osborne has taken over the team from David Bartram, and they've now been rebranded as Alliance Racing now. So it's all sort of a new outfit that's moved away from Kent as well, where they used to be based.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about Darren Camish, because he's an excellent driver. Let's not forget he was right in the mix to win the title, was it, in 2019 in that final showdown where he obviously had that sort of brake failure and went off and on the Grand Prix circuit. At that point, he would have been champion if he'd have finished the race. So he's clearly capable of winning a title. But we haven't seen the last sort of couple of years him able to sort of really consistently take on Ash Sutton in the same team. So what are your thoughts there? It must be pretty tricky for Dan to sort of, I guess you've got that amazing benchmark, but how do you beat Ash Sutton?
it's a question that a lot of people have been wondering, really, isn't it? How do you beat Ash Sutton? And like you say, Dan came so close. Literally, if the 2019 season had been a couple of laps shorter, he would have been champion. And he's clearly got bundles of talent. He's clearly a very, very good driver. And he just seems to have had perhaps more of his share of the bad luck in the past couple of seasons since he's joined Ash at in the Napa Fords. And I think if it all just clicks together, if he can have a run of races and really build some momentum, I think that could put Dan in a really strong position. But it's just it almost needs Ash to have an off weekend, which is not something that Sutton is known for, and to really help propel Dan to the front. But he's got all the ability there to be able to do that, and if he can just have a few weekends where there's no problems, it's all straightforward, he can get some really good solid results, then I think that would give him the boost that he needs to really fight at the top, because there's no reason why he shouldn't be. And the same sort of applies to Dan Rowbottom as well. He's another really, really talented driver in that team. And again, he's not really had the sort of rub of the green at various different points. And if he can get that breakthrough result, I think that would be quite transformative for him as well. So I think there's a few drivers in that position that are there or thereabouts, but just need that little bit of good fortune, that good run of clean races to really sort of stamp their mark on the championship.
We should talk a little bit about pre-season testing. I mean, the last test was topped by Sutton, which is obviously quite ominous, but testing is testing. What are your thoughts about Donington? I mean, obviously that last test was at Donington, but how do you see it playing out there?
Yeah, it's always... it's a dangerous game to read too much into testing, isn't it? As we've seen so many times in so many different categories over the years. But I think you've got three really strong teams there with the Napa Alliance Fords, the WSR BMWs, and the Tom Ingram and the Accelerate Hyundai. And they're likely to be at the front, but it's also whether teams like Speedworks and the Toyotas can also get in the mix. And we also, as you mentioned earlier, there is a new team to the championship, and there hasn't been a new team in the series for quite a few years now, and it's good. It'll be really interesting to see how Restart Racing get on as well. So there's throughout the field there's lots of interesting elements that would be really, really intriguing to see how it all plays out at Donington. But I think you've still got to say that Ash is definitely the man to beat at the end of the day.
And we should talk about the Toyotas. And obviously you mentioned there, obviously, Rob Huff and obviously Josh Cook, you would expect to lead that sort of Toyota contingent, so to say, even though he's running in the sort of LKQ livery of Toyotas. But what do you think for Rob Huff, what would he think is a sort of acceptable return? Do you know what I mean? Because it'll be his first full-time season in the BTCC since he made his debut in 2004. He's had some races, but like, what do you think is his target and goal? Because I guess it's a difficult one to sort of judge, isn't it, when you come in like this?
Yeah, that's the thing. There'll be a lot of eyes on him, really, won't there? There's a lot of pressure for him to get some instant success, really. And a lot of that will come down to how much those tweaks that Speedworks have been making behind the scenes this year can really have a difference, because they've been working on a number of different areas that have been a big focus on reducing the weight of the car, improving the distribution, the aerodynamics. They've been working on the Corona in a number of different areas over the winter, and they've bolstered the engineering team as well with some of some of the people that worked with Crook and Moffitt previously at One Motorsport have joined the operation too. So there's been a lot of attention to on a number of different areas. So obviously, Rob Huff is a top driver, and he'll be wanting to make an impact right from the start. But how high the Toyotas can get up the order, can they really challenge the previously all-conquering Napa Fords? It's a tough task, but who knows? I think they've the Toyotas, it's a tricky one, because they've shown flashes of speed at various points in the recent campaigns, but it's never really quite clicked for them, and had quite a few sort of reliability issues and sort of straight line speed deficiencies last year. And if all of these things can be corrected and they really have taken that massive step forward, then there's no reason why they can't be in the mix. And Rob Huff can't be up at the front fighting for those top results. But yeah, it's a tricky one to know what would be an acceptable return, really. I don't know what you think, Tom.
I think it would be a really nice story to see him in the championship mix. That, I mean, that's the sort of dream, I suppose, that people would want, is to see him actually like back to his best, and actually really mixing it with the title contenders would be a really nice addition to that group, wouldn't it? So, I mean, I think that's what sort of everyone's sort of heart is wanting, but yes, whether that eventuates is to be seen, isn't it? But you know what he can do. You know, he's a world touring car champion. Okay, yeah, it was 2012, but like, he's still got talent. So, I don't know. As you said, it would be good also to see Toyota consistently up there as well, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be, if we can see, or if we see if Josh Cook is up there as well, and you've got that sort of really strong Toyota presence at the front, with obviously the Napa Fords, the BMWs, the Hyundais, and the like, it will be a really interesting championship. So I guess it's all sort of, this is all why it's always exciting at this time of the year, because you just don't know what's going to happen and who's going to be where. So it's always a sort of interesting time. But I guess the other thing I wanted to talk about was the other change that we haven't discussed, and it's not about on the racetrack either. It's from a promotional side, and that is the BTCC's move its races to TikTok, a social media platform. Now, this is quite a groundbreaking decision. They are saying that this is the first, you know, championship of its kind to do something like this, and it looks quite interesting on paper, and it could be a model that other championships follow, because certainly, as we all know, social media is very strong at the moment, and TikTok particularly. And if you're trying to attract a new audience, this may be the way to go.
Well, yeah, I think it could be potentially a very, very good move by the championship, but particularly to really connect with a younger audience. Obviously, the series has done so well out of its traditional live coverage on ITV4 to regular terrestrial TV, but that's that's increasingly out of touch with the younger demographic. So I think the TikTok deal is a really, really interesting one, and it could really open up the championship to so many different people that wouldn't otherwise have discovered it, really. So I think it will be really, really interesting to see just how many people become BTCC fans off the back of it, because it's got all the potential to really be quite transformative. So I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier about the organisers not afraid to try experiment and try new things, because as you said, this is a pretty groundbreaking move, and it could be one that really pays off handsomely. And like you say, it could encourage other organisers to go down that same route, and they could really pioneer it. I think on paper, at least, it seems to me to be a really, really good idea. And particularly if we have got a very dramatic season with a lot of different race winners, different drivers in the mix, then that's perfect for that sort of audience.
And not only is, as you said, that's perfectly obvious, I actually think the product that the BTCC is, the way it is structured with the three sort of sprint races, and for that sort of, you know, without sort of being stereotypical, yeah, but, you know, they're short, sharp races, which is a sort of, you know, what you want to attract a younger generation on that platform. So it, that could really go hand in hand in actually being a success.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, isn't it? It's perfect. It's not a 3-hour endurance race. It's not even an hour and a half Grand Prix. They're much smaller bite-sized chunks. And I think it's a really good championship to be the first one to sort of stick the head above the water and go for that kind of move into TikTok, into social media coverage, because it's got the perfect format.
Before we move into sort of the British Touring Car Support Series, which I know you're a super expert on, Stephen, I'm going to ask you who you think you will be the champion in the British Touring Car Championship. I will certainly, because you've got to have a prediction. You can't shy away from it, Stephen. Go on. Who do you think is going to be doing? Who's going to be the champion?
As much as there's a lot of really good rivals, I think it's still going to take something pretty special for Ash Sutton to be beaten. So I think if I had to put one person forward, I think I'd stick with Ash Sutton, I reckon. So I think he's been just getting better and better each season he's been in the championship. And I think for all of the improvements that the other teams have made, I think he's still going to be the one to beat.
I'm going to join you in that. And that sounds like a boring and a cop out of myself, but I have to say I agree. That team, I know a lot of people in that Napa racing team, they're extremely good, and they work very, very hard on those cars. And I can imagine over the winter they've not been resting on their laurels either. They would have improved that focus even more. And as you say, Ash Sutton is just in this sort of period of his career, which you have to say he's in peak performance, isn't he? He's just absolutely delivering. I do think it will be closer. I think the battle will be closer, and I think it will come down to perhaps the final race, maybe. But I do think Ash Sutton is going to edge it, because he is a different class, isn't he, at the moment, in terms of what we are seeing from him over the last few years. He's just growing and growing.
There's almost no weaknesses, really, is there?
Yes. Yeah.
It's very difficult to beat someone who has no weaknesses in their armoury.
Well, we shall move on now to the support series, and then this is where Stephen can dazzle us with his knowledge of the support series. I'm going to start with obviously the Porsche Carrera Cup. Now we've got obviously Dan Lloyd, George Gamble, and Stephen Jelly coming into the mix this year. A bit of a sort of refreshed lineup. How are you? What do you make of the lineup for this year, and who's going to be on top?
Yeah, so obviously we've spoken about how the BTCC numbers are down a little bit this year, and quite a few of the drivers, four drivers in fact, have moved across into the Carrera Cup. So there's, I think, and alongside some other really quick drivers, I think it makes it a really, really interesting season, because there's so many potential champions among that mix. Like you say, Dan Lloyd, George Gamble and Stephen Jenny all have previous experience in the Carrera Cup. They're all established drivers that have achieved good results there, some of them longer ago than others. And I think they're all going to be in the mix. It will take a little bit of time for some of them to get back up to speed with the Porsche machinery compared to what they've been used to in the BCCC. But they're all going to be there or thereabouts. And I think we've got Dan Lloyd at Toro Verde, you've got George Gamble at Century Motorsport, and you've got Stephen Jelly back with Team Parker. So they're all with good operations that there's no reason why they can't be at the front. But equally, there's plenty of other drivers that they're going to have to beat to be able to do that. And you have to look at the likes of Matt Rees, who was British F4 champion a couple of years ago, GB3 front runner. He's going to be really strong with Team Parker Racing. You've got the likes of Will Burns, a former British GT4 champion at Century. You've got James Wallace, the new Porsche GB Junior driver. Porsche have got a tremendous track record of picking out talented young individuals and giving them the sort of support, both financial and what a wealth of sport in a huge number of different areas, including like physical training programs, engineering advice, and different bits and pieces. So James Wallace is going to be there or thereabouts as well. And you've got Andrew Ratstraw, who's been a front runner in the Maltese Trophy in recent years. The list just goes on and on. And saying there's a lot of strong contenders in the BTCC, well, there's perhaps even more in the Carrera Cup this year, because just everywhere you look, there's potential race winners and champions. And most of them are either new or returning to the series. Very few drivers continuing from last year, but one of them that is Josh Malin, who remarkably finished third in the points despite only contesting three quarters of the season last year. And he'll be eager to sort of keep that momentum up with what he hopes will be a full campaign this time with the new race drive team that Dino Zamparelli has set up. And Zamparelli was a three-time runner-up in the championship. He knows what it takes to be successful in it, and he's brought in a team of engineers as well with plenty of previous Porsche experience. So that will be interesting to follow as well. So Gamble, Lloyd and Jelly are perhaps the headline names joining the series, there's plenty of strength and depth there. And even in the Pro-Am class, where you look, there's the likes of W Series and Grand Tour star Abby Eaton, Waltese Trophy winner Oliver White. There's just so many drivers that have achieved good results elsewhere in motorsport that are in the mix. So it's got all the ingredients to be a really fascinating season.
I'm just quite interested about why sort of Dan Lloyd and George Gamble and Stephen Jelly have sort of ended up in the Carrera Cup. Is it a case of just budgets are just too high at the moment in BTCC, and is it sort of Porsche Carrera Cup's gain? You know, are they getting some more drivers because of that?
I think it's a combination of things. Yes, budget is a huge factor in all of this, but I think it's the rise in popularity in GT racing more generally at the moment. We've seen, like with the addition of GT3 cars into the World Endurance Championship at Le Mans for this year, suddenly the number of different opportunities that there are out there has increased even further. There already was a lot, but there's even more now. And I think that's just made it even more attractive, particularly when we're talking about a series like a brand like Porsche, which has got representation at all those different levels. So I think it's a combination of things. And I think just the reputation of the Carrera Cup is established now in the last few years, a really good reputation as being a good proving ground for drivers. And I think all of those sort of ingredients together have helped encourage so many, both BTCC and other drivers, into the mix this year. And it'll be interesting to see who emerges on top. Both of them be sort of a mini battle among the ex-BTCC racers and around everyone else as well. There's certainly a buzz about the series, and they've got a huge new hospitality complex for this year, which looks like it should be seriously impressive. And yeah, it's clearly a series that's going places.
Well, we've obviously tackled the Carrera Cup. We'll move to some single-seater action now with British Formula 4. Who are your sort of stars, and who do you think is going to be shining in that category this year?
I think one of the title favourites has to be Degan Fairclough. He finished third in the championship last year, and he certainly grabbed plenty of attention with some of his overtaking moves. It wasn't uncommon to see him rising 6, 7, 8 places in a single lap off the grid last year. He's openly admitted that at times he was too eager, too risky with his moves. But if he can couple that natural ability to just go for it with a little bit more control, which is what he did at the end of last year, as he started winning some more races. He's now moved to the high-tech squad, so a team that's established at the very front of the championship, having won the title with Alex Dunn in 2022. I think he's going to be really, really tough to beat. And if he's already spoken about wanting to break some records this year. So I think he could be a really really strong contender. There's also a couple of other second-year drivers that could well be at the front. One of them is Mick Abrahams, his teammate at High Tech. He was too young to start the season last year, so he missed the first three events, but he should be... He's sort of fully up to speed now, and he could be one to watch. And also at Rodin, what was the Carlin squad, they're always there or thereabouts in F4, and perhaps their best bet for a title bid is James Higgins, who was a regular race winner, pole sitter last year. So he could well be another threat to Deegan Fairclough. But with F4, you never really know. The pecking order can change so much during the course of the year as the rookies get up to speed with the car and the championship. It should be really interesting to follow. And they've also got the addition this year of their first ever overseas rounds. They're going to Zandvoort. So that's added another element to the championship, and that's helping. It means they're racing on a few different Grand Prix circuits, but they're also racing on the Silverstone Grand Prix layout, not just the national circuit. So there's that would be another interesting sort of element to the series this year, seeing how it fares venturing away from home turf.
Do you think is a sort of part of the decision in that process trying to prepare them for Formula 3 or some of these candidates for Formula 3 moving onwards? Because obviously, you know, people, you know, tracks like Zandvoort or whatever could be on the bill. Is that sort of part of the reasoning behind it, do you think?
I think so, very much so, because as great as circuits like Knockhill, Alton Park, Croft are for proven drivers, they're not really representative of what they're likely to face as they move further up the ladder. So having a mix of some of those really tough and unique UK venues, but alongside the likes of the Silverstone Grand Prix circuit, and Zandvoort for this year, I think it gives a really good mix that is attractive to drivers. And I think that the nature of the UK circuits has always been something that's not necessarily held back the championship, but it's always meant it's had to really fight to get drivers versus those that are racing on European circuits that are those same ones that the drivers will be progressing to a later point. So having that addition of that one Zandvoort round, I think, could really be beneficial moving forward, particularly if it's something that could be then repeated, whether it's Zandvoort or other circuits like Spa, for example, in the future. I think it's a really good addition.
I know it's a bit early to say, but has there been sort of anyone that you've seen already sort of a standout driver in the championship, or maybe a second year driver coming through that you think he or she has got, you know, F3 potential already, or is it just too early to say at this point?
I think it's a little bit too early to say just at the moment, because like sometimes you see a driver in F4, and we've seen it in the first year of the series with Lando Norris, for example, where you knew instantly he was going to go places. And sometimes some drivers unexpectedly perhaps don't show their full potential in F4, but are much more suited to a car that's got a little bit more power, a little bit more downforce as they move up the ranks. So just because someone doesn't blitz the opposition in F4, it doesn't mean that they're not a good driver and that they can't reach the very top. But I think each year there's always some drivers that progress. And if Deegan Fairclough can really realise his true potential this year, he could well be a very attractive signing. He's with High Tech that's got that ladder all the way up towards the top of the single-seater pyramid. So it'd be interesting to see how far he can go if he does indeed have a successful season this year.
We'll move back to Tin Tops now, and this is perhaps one of my personal favourite support classes on the championship, and that's the Mini Challenge. It always produces action. You're never far away from an exciting moment or a thrill and spill in those races. Talk to us about the Mini Challenge. Obviously, it's always, as I said, it's always action-packed. You can never really predict who's going to be coming out champion in that series.
Yeah, I think the favourite going into it has to be Dan Zelos as the reigning champion. He won the title for a second time last year, and he was perhaps unusually dominant last year in the sense of it wasn't the strongest year for the category compared to some previous years. But it looks like particularly within his own accelerate team, he could have a really real fight on his hands this year, because there's a number of quick young drivers that will be snapping at his heels. Obviously, Dan himself has been looking to make that progression up to the BTCC for a number of years now. It's never quite all fallen into place for him, never quite had the budget, never quite the right opportunities. But he firmly believes that the Mini Challenge is the best place for him to be. In the meantime, he's a reserve driver for Accelerate's BTCC squad, so he's certainly in the right environment to learn from. And if he can take another title this year, then that that would be another sign of his talent, because alongside him within the Accelerate squad are three drivers that have previously won the Cooper class of the Mini Challenge, which also occasionally appears on the Toker bill. So you've got Nelson King, you've got Matt Hammond, and you've got the reigning champion, Tom Ovenden. So all three of those will be really interesting to follow and see how they get on. And they've one driver that Dan Zenos himself has really picked out from testing so far, who he thinks will be really strong, is Max Hall, who's another graduate from the Coopers. And because Dan is an established sort of driver coach within the Accelerate setup, he's almost got mixed views, because he's helping these drivers, that he's almost sort of feels like he's creating a rod for his own back in some ways, because the more that they gain in strength, the more difficult it would be for him to beat them in the JCWs. But that would be interesting. And there's also Jamie Osborne, the younger brother of Sam Osborne. He's in a Napa Mini again this year, and he could be one to watch potentially as well. And there's also a new class in the championship this year, JCW Sport, which is designed to be a sort of intermediate step between the Coopers and the JCWs from the main Mini Challenge. At the moment, there's due to be five cars among the entry for this first round, including a guest car that's going to be driven by Hannah Chapman this time, but it's going to be run on sustainable fuels, because the championship has made quite a commitment to say that by 2028 it wants to be completely running on much more sustainable fuels. It's really going to be developing this over the next few years, so that would be interesting to follow as well. And okay, the JCW Sport hasn't attracted a huge number of drivers so far, but it could be something that builds potentially as the season goes on. It's the first year of it, and it makes sense to have that little bridge between the two categories, just to make the progression that little bit easier.
Is the Mini Challenge now, do you see it as the stepping stone to the BTCC? Is that what it is now, the Mini Challenge? That is the sort of proving ground for these drivers?
You would say it should be, but it hasn't. It's never really taken on the mantle from the Clio Cup that used to be on the support bill, in the sense of there's only been Ronan Pearson is really the only driver that's progressed directly from it into touring cars over the past few years. So I think it's trying to fulfill that role, but it hasn't yet established itself in it. And part of that, you could say, is that there hasn't been that many new drivers coming into the BTCC full stop in the past couple of years, as we've talked earlier about, like the GT side of things looking more attractive. But it's certainly a place where touring car teams should be looking and will be looking, because it's at those same events. And I think it's certainly, as you said before, it's a series that normally produces some close racing with normally some thrills and spills as well. So we shall see if there's more of that this year.
Excellent. Well, I guess we'll wrap things up for the preview pod for the British Touring Car Championship and the support series. So that's all we've got time for today in this episode. So I'd like to thank Stephen for his expert analysis, but be sure to log on to daltosport.com and pick up a copy of the magazine for all the latest BTCC and support series news from the Donington Park opener. Thank you for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.